Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to invest in yourself by tuning in today. As the name says, our listeners are business creators like you. We have our entrepreneurs, we have small business owners, we have local business owners, we have marketing and business coaches, we have the folks who help others build and create their businesses, and then flip that coin over, and we got the do-it-yourselfers who like to have your own hands on the levers. If you're one or more of the above, please take a moment, explore episodes, discover how we help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Also, check us out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show or click the big banner in the right-hand column of our website. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us help more business creators just like you. Be sure to subscribe. Fresh content added every single week, served fresh every Tuesday, and we have over 147 episodes already in queue just waiting for you. I love public relations. I have a great client who's big in PR. I have done a lot of public relations myself. When we talk about business creator style marketing or guerrilla marketing or bootstrap marketing, shoestring marketing, anything that involves doing a lot with a little bit, what you can do with your public relations efforts, your PR efforts, and how you can make your PR efforts significantly more affordable and easy is so critical. I love public relations. I love the music industry. We've had musicians on the Business Creators Radio Show. I myself am a big fan of music, but do not ask me about my karaoke career because I have tried so hard to suppress all the online evidence. But today, we are going to bring with us Claire Kim of BuzzWithClaire.com. And you're going to like Claire. She's pretty interesting. She's a proud millennial entrepreneur and an independent musician. Claire wants to live in a world where she can help everyone to unfold their own myth. She is the founder of Buzz with Claire, which is a coaching brand that seamlessly integrates public relations, social media, and marketing, or in her language, hybrid buzz. As a hybrid buzz strategist, Claire has been featured on the Huffington Post, YFS Magazine, and Business Partner Magazine. Claire is also a musician, has been featured on Interview Ottawa, Awesome Canada, and Canadian Musicians. When Claire isn't creating buzz as a hybrid buzz strategist, you can find her surfing through YouTube and at a local bakery. Learn more about Claire at www.buzzwithclaire.com and about her stage life at www.whalie.net. Claire, welcome aboard.
Hi. Super happy to be here.
I just read off that very enticing biography of yours, but what we know is during our time here together again, you bring together a couple of different concepts in a way that we've never really seen on Business Creators Radio Show before, which is one of the reasons that when you came to us and expressed interest in being on the show, I said, book her now, or as my cats would say,
Yeah.
So what I want you to do, and I love how you laugh when I use the lolcat thing. I can tell we're going to get along great. So tell us a little bit more, Claire, about the intersection of your brilliance and passion and the story that has brought you to where you are today and how you serve our business creators.
So how I started out on this whole the whole blend of entrepreneurial journey and musician journey is honestly put, it was quite accidental. So I always wanted to just do music, and unfortunately it didn't take me long to realize that the whole get some random job, get discovered, and then do music full time, that recipe wasn't very likely going to work out in my favor, at least probability wise. And I decided that, okay, I need something to keep me afloat, something that is going to not make me a starving, hungry musician, and a regular 9-to-5 job wasn't going to cut it. And I decided that I'm going to blend the things that I was good at, and as well my educational background, and decided to start my own entrepreneurial venture.
Right. Yeah, and I know that, you know, I have friends who are musicians and in the music industry, and public relations is a really big deal, especially for some of your local acts, some of your up-and-coming acts, and even some of your veteran acts who have passed their top 40 days but are still very active and have a following and get on a singing circuit, basically. Public relations is key to keeping those careers alive and keeping those careers moving. Now, there is one question we do ask on Business Creators Radio Show before we dive in, and because we ask it of everybody, let's do the drum roll here that our listeners are used to. Here in the Business Creators Radio Show, we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses. A lot of our listeners tell me they have everything they need to implement anything we say they need to do, except for time and money. This is a question we ask every expert who appears on our show. What I like is not only the variety of different answers, but also the variety of ways the question is interpreted. So how do time and money impact what you're going to share with us today?
Time and money impacts what I'm about to share with you today because I've been there myself where honestly, but not many people have the luxury of having abundant time and money to spend on PR efforts, spend on business activities. No, most of us do not have the luxury to delegate. Most of us do not have $1 million to spend on radio commercials, and because I've worked with so many emerging brands and startups, and especially nonprofits. I've actually worked in the nonprofit sector for almost 5 years before I jumped into consulting and coaching area. I totally understand the frustration of the whole time and money, and that's why I think my approach to PR will be extremely relevant for your podcast audience.
Well, that sounds fine to me. So tell us about this hybrid buzz. I've never heard that phrase before until about 8 minutes ago. So tell me about hybrid buzz. What does it mean? What does it do?
So hybrid buzz, in a nutshell, is all about helping to create publicity and to promote the brand by integrating all aspects such as PR, social media, traditional marketing. And I came up with the term back in my consulting days, where whenever I would get asked to do a consulting project, especially for nonprofit firms and for musicians, I would always be asked, "Hey, could you do a social media consulting for me? I'm having trouble growing my social media." And then I will dive into it, except I'll realize that there are so many other aspects involved. So they wanted social media to do everything for them without really considering the other dimensions that could be involved in it. And social media also is involved with offline marketing. It's also involved with PR aspects such as networking with journalists, writing press releases, sending your pitches, and things such as that. Social media is definitely an integral aspect of it, but I realize that a lot of these brands are forgetting about it, and then their efforts were becoming extremely one-sided and not as effective as it should be, and that's why I came up with the own term hybrid buzz, so that the brands that I work with can make sure that all their efforts are comprehensive in a way where they're spending the right amount of time and right amount of money.
Yeah.
And different activities that is going to maximize their efforts.
That's fantastic.
So that's where they came.
All right. So that's great. Now, why do you think that so many small businesses struggle so much with PR?
I think the small businesses struggle so much with PR because of our existing conception of PR. So if you were to go back to the traditional model of PR, I guess that's where I should be explaining a little bit more. So PR is like when we hear the word PR, we immediately think of, okay, media. And 2,000 media being broadcast in print, at least in traditional sense. And like they're known as the mass media. And then although it is very effective to reach the maximum number of people possible, it's not exactly the most affordable way to get the publicity for the brand. And because of that stigma, a lot of the small businesses are thinking, okay, I shouldn't bother with PR because it's going to take me so much time. It's going to cost me so much money, and I might have to hire a publicist, get them to do hours of work for me, and then I may not even see return on my investment. So I think that is why a lot of small businesses almost have stigma towards PR, and that's why they're struggling.
Because they're afraid the thing might be so darn big that they couldn't even have one if they wanted one.
Yeah, and extremely costly too. And yes, PR can be costly, but especially if you're trying to get on the national media. But I don't think a lot of smaller businesses and emerging brands, they're not at that point yet. So PR shouldn't be something that they should step away from, with the whole stigma of, oh, it might not be affordable for me.
Right. So what are some of the ways that we can overcome the finance issue, because stigma or no stigma, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't have a lot of money. So what are some things we can do to get into public relations, especially for those of us that are on the Business Creators Radio show that may be a little mm-hmm. short in the pocket sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. I actually follow my four steps. The first thing that I always say to everyone that I work with is you really need to be clear on your objective. So what do you hope to achieve by getting that media coverage? What do you hope to achieve by getting the publicity? For example, if you're a restaurant and then you're just trying to get on provincial radio to advertise your restaurant, and then trying to purchase radio advertisement spots all over the province or state. I'm from Canada, so that's why I automatically said province.
Right.
Chances are it's going to be not as cost effective because not everybody in the province or state is going to travel to your restaurant just to visit your restaurant. So you have to be extremely clear on your objective, and then also, by being clear in your objective, you're also going to be able to say, okay, so who am I trying to reach? And by reaching these people, what do I want these people to do? And that is, honestly, by clearing up on that objective, it is going to set your mind clear in regards to the budget, and then it's really going to make your efforts a lot easier to plan later on, because a lot of the businesses, this objectives when it comes to PR is really, really vague. The whole I'm going to get a new coverage and then I'm going to become an overnight star, it doesn't cut it, unfortunately.
Right. Everybody thinks they're going to be the next Oprah. Everybody says, my goal is I want to be on Oprah and have Oprah hold my book. But they don't think about the implications. What does that really mean? What do you really get for that? And then they don't think about, what if my prayer is answered?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because a lot of these other businesses are wishing the same thing too, and the odds might not always work in your favor. Sometimes it does, but not always.
Sure, you can get a case of answered prayers. Now, you had mentioned to me that you were going to give us some specific, what you like to call the how tips. And I believe you said the first one, if you could repeat it, and then go into the second one.
So the first thing I mentioned was really clarifying on your objective,
right,
as to why you want the publicity, why you want to focus on PR efforts, and by focusing on PR efforts, what do you hope to get? And so that was the first one. And then the second one is really about taking that baby step. So let's say your goal is to get on Good Morning America. Now you have to think, okay, so in order for me to get to Good Morning America, what would I need? So here, so there's two options. You can either try to pitch yourself in with $5 million coffee and donuts or whatever is necessary. Like you could try to buy your way in.
Right.
Which may or may not work depending on your luck.
You can buy a lot of things. I mean, you can buy a presidential election these days. Yeah, the field has been democratized. Sometimes money cuts it. But what is the other thing if you don't have the money?
Yeah, but the thing is, especially because after all, with PR, keep in mind you're still working with people, and they might receive payments from you. They might receive that $30,000 bonus paycheck from your company, so that they could write a news article about you. But what if they change their mind all of a sudden? We're people. Our minds change all the time.
That's true.
So there's that option of trying to buy your way in, or you could also take the baby step, which is slowly building up the credibility, building up the social proof, so that when you pitch yourself to Good Morning America or Oprah or Ellen's show, the person that's going to be receiving your pitch will not only respect your pitch because of your credibility and social proof, but also might know of your brand because you were able to build a relationship with someone that is associated with the person receiving the pitch, or better yet, the person receiving the pitch themselves.
Right. I get that. So what comes next?
And so baby steps, and the third thing that comes next after the baby step aspect and breaking it down is making sure you have all the right tools. So for example, it could be as of a little thing such as making sure that your website has a custom domain and is well presented. And so every aspect of your brand should be professional, and then should be up to an impeccable standard, so that if a media comes up to you and says, "Hey, I want to interview you," you're completely ready. You're not fiddling in the corner, being like, "Okay, I have to get my website ready, because what if 10,000 people all of a sudden visit my website and then all they see is a website made out of Drupal that I just put together my email address and my name on, or something like that." And as well having pre and press releases, having your meeting, having your one liners right, and then having that call to action, knowing how to interact with media, so making sure that you have all the right tools is my third step that I'll recommend.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I have been involved in an initiative myself called Uniting America, which is a movement to bring us all together despite our differences. It was launched the week before our Independence Day by a friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
And I became one of the early cheerleaders of it. I took it and ran with it on social media. And there was I can't give any specifics, but let's just say that as of this recording, there is something in the works that could potentially result in major media attention.
Ooh.
But all I've heard so far is we need your press kit. And fortunately, I had one to give.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think that's something that a lot of people will find sneaks up on them, because they may not be prepared for public relations opportunities to happen as fast as they expected. They may think it's going to be the baby steps and what have you. The next thing you know, you're in the middle of something, and feelers are coming or going, and people need your media information like right now. So if somebody's listening to this show and they're thinking, "Hey, this could happen at any minute," what would you suggest that they do to have a media kit ready as quickly as possible? What should be inside that kit?
Inside the media kit, well, depending on the industry, it will be quite different. But I'm just going to make it as general as possible. Your contact information. Do not forget your contact information.
Right.
I've seen so many brands forget about it, and it's actually the most important. In fact, I suggest thinking of the first because it's so important. And your biography. And it really, really does depend on your industry. For example, my press kit as a musician, I have clippings of my past press appearances, and I have my sample press release, and I also have my social media reach in case they're wondering, okay, so what is her audience like? I have a little bit of an overview about that, and it is around 2 pages.
Right.
And for my entrepreneur brand, I have, mine is just over 1 page, depending on the font size. But I have, headshot. Headshot is universal. So headshot, and topics that I like to speak about, my past press appearances, and contact information.
Wow! Yeah. So,
I think you're seeing a pattern here.
Right.
It's very basic.
Right. Right. So it's not something that you have to do a ton of work to bring together, but it's something that you might want to have handy because media can move quick in terms
yeah,
of opportunity because and you never know that what you're doing might not end up in the news. What happens if you find yourself just going about daily life? And you find yourself right in the middle of some incident that becomes newsworthy. What if you become the newsworthy incident and you weren't planning on it?
I would say, quite lucky, but I'm
lucky.
If a media wants to cover you all of a sudden because of that incident, first you would stay calm. I would actually suggest for you to hold off on all the interviews until you're able to get your head clear. Although I don't suggest for you to take too long. Ask the media. Okay, well, when do you need the story done by? And then
right.
If the media says, okay, I need you to get back to me by 7 p.m. tonight. You have until 7 p.m. that night to sort up on your story and then sort up on your call to action and then prepare all the possible questions and then know the answer in your head and get back to them and then hold up on your end of the bargain.
Right. So what about the power of controversy? People love the controversial stuff and things that get people fired up one way or the other. Would you recommend using that as a way of creating that in your own publicity strategy? And if so, how? And if not, why not?
I believe every PR person professional, they do have very different take on this. Personally, I am against trying to go with the controversy because a lot of the emerging brands they don't really have much experience of working with media and then dealing with public in general because we're so focused on our craft we kind of forget about the whole media aspect and then forget about the people that exist outside of our potential outside of our current audience. So I actually suggest against it for emerging brands. However, if you are an experienced brand and if you have an understanding of how to really go about it, I suggest give it a try. But if it is a topic extremely, extremely controversial, something that will show up on Fox News as breaking news, chances are you probably don't want to be associated with that.
Well, I think I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you don't want to cause an unnecessary yes, newsworthy is great, but what if, because public relations is also all about really, media and also dealing with different types of people and then facing that public with the news that you have. What if the public reacts differently from the way that you expect?
Right. What about
unless you're Go ahead.
Like
I was going to say, unless you're able to, like, unless you have a clear idea as to, okay, this is how I'm going to approach it when public reacts in a way that's completely different from what I want them to react, I would say, I'm a little bit iffy about it.
Well, I can see what you mean. So shifting gears a little bit, there's a lot of talk in the entrepreneurial world about building your celebrity brand. I think you've heard that phrase before. And in your work, working with businesses, in your work working in the music industry, what are some of your tactics for creating this idea of celebrity? And before you answer that, I'd also like you to tell me how you define the word, because there are so many definitions of the word celebrity, so I'd like you to define your own terms.
Defining the word celebrity, wow, I've actually never been asked this question before. It's really good. Wow, wow, mind blown. But how I would define the word celebrity is literally someone that is fortunate to have people listening to them, whether because of a lot of social proof that their clients were able to give or people around them were able to give, or somehow caught the attention of media. And it's definitely something that doesn't come easy, but when you are fortunate enough to get to that stage where people are starting to listen to you, and then where you're starting to become more well known and then considered to have the celebrity status, is something that you should be extremely appreciative of, and then don't pull diva on it.
Oh, you mean starting needless wars on Twitter with other musicians, or just going totally aggro on somebody because they make a less than complimentary tweet about you or something like that is probably not the way to go, is what you're saying.
Probably not the way to go. I mean, people that are able to do that and then get away with it, they are at that point they are at the celebrity status just because they're them. And unfortunately, a lot of brands don't get to that point.
Right. Well, I can tell you right now that those are the types of messages I don't even want to see myself. Some people thrive on that. To me, I think it's kind of degrading when you think about it. I mean, you have nothing to stand on your own merits. You have nothing to offer your own people, that the only way you rise in media attention is to tear somebody else down. I've seen people like that. And when you tear others down, all you're really doing really is digging a hole. And whether you realize it or not, you're sinking in it.
Exactly.
That's been my take on it. Going back to celebrity, do you think it can be manufactured?
I would say yes and no at the same time, because going back onto the steps that I mentioned, the whole being clear on your objectives, and then taking baby steps, etc. To have the celebrity status, to be of a person that people will be willing to listen to and then give their time to, even if you're not in their personal circle, you need to be prepared to get to that point. As in, you need to make sure that you have not only right tools, but you also have to make sure that your content and what you have to offer is worth of people's time. So that's the yes part. However, no part comes in where it's really about I keep saying this for this podcast, but it's really about people. You could have the most amazing product, most amazing music, amazing service in the world, but if people are not resonating with it, if people don't want to listen to you, it doesn't matter at that point. Or if what if people never find out about it? So it does take a little bit of luck.
Well, yeah, there's luck in everything. Luck can be good and luck can be bad. So settle a bet for me if you can. There are some companies, some startups, some entrepreneurial ventures that view themselves as being highly corporate or academic in nature. And they shy away from wanting to have a human being be the figurehead or the celebrity driver behind it, and they want it to be in the voice of an organization rather than a human. Where do you, where would you stand on that? Do you think that somebody who takes that position is on base? Do you think that can be done? Or do you think they're missing out on a golden opportunity? I'm trying to keep my voice level on each one of those options so as not to stagger one or the other. But let's turn it over to you.
Maybe I am a little bit biased because I really believe that authenticity is the best way to get people to listen to you and then really, really get people to start caring about you just as much as you would care about them.
Right.
But I would say they are missing out on a golden opportunity. Back when I was doing a consulting project for two university professors who wrote a book, they wrote a book called Feminine Capital, and it was based off of very, very heavy academic research based towards aspiring female entrepreneurs. So they had a lot of scientific findings, a lot of psychological analysis, and a lot of business history integrated into that book. And although the book was quite easy to read in a sense where people will understand the book, there wasn't much human element into it when it comes to how they were really approaching the promotional side of the book and how they were really talking about the book. Per se, they were only relying on facts, and although they have 30 years of experience, they know what they're talking about, and their knowledge and expertise is undeniable. But the thing is, a lot of the people in the world, we don't have that same experience. They could be saying the most amazing facts, that they could be delivering the most amount of value academically and research-wise. But at the end of the day, if the other person's like, I don't understand where you're coming from, or I don't understand what you're talking about, and I don't and therefore I'm not quite understanding why I should be feel personally affiliated with this book, or feeling personal connection to this particular book. And so when I got to do a consulting project for them, the main thing I really focused on was really changing how they were approaching the whole promotional aspect of the book. Because the book was about female entrepreneurs that were aspiring female entrepreneurs that were hoping to start their own business. And then I brought up to them, the book is quite research based, quite academic based, but have you thought about the readers that were going to read it? Chances are they're not going to have the 30 years of experience. And
right.
a lot of the, and then the people that are going to be reading this book, they're scared. They're scared to start their own business. They're scared to walk away from their super, super stable corporate job because they have so much to lose. And they're just scared and they're lost. They don't know what to do. They want to spend more time with kids and family, but they feel that they feel the corporate world won't bring them that, so they want to start that, and so they're kind of stuck in that vicious cycle. And I told them, I'm not sure how you're gonna take this, but I think you should be really focusing on bringing the personal element into promotional side of the book. Make this book a symbol for them. Make this book something that they can look at it and say, this was my epiphany to start my own business. This book gave me clarity. This book gave me a feeling. And because of that, thankfully they took out on the suggestion, which I know would have been quite difficult, especially in academic institute setting. But they took it, and our book campaign did extremely, extremely well. They ended up on Amazon bestseller for, I believe it was a month, in three categories.
Yeah, that's all very interesting. I mean, I love that story, and I think you make a point about relatability, is there does come a point where you are looking to inspire somebody, and they want to feel inspired by a human being. And to me, I think there can be a balance, too, because sometimes people want to trust the brand. You mentioned Fox News earlier, and I'm going to bring that up because it's a very special case. What Fox News is particularly known for, especially here in the United States, our version of Fox News, is we have commentators who have their very own, very fervent individual followings. And then they all have books, they have other shows, they have their own podcasts, they have their own websites, and everything else.
Yep.
But at the same time, Fox News itself is a brand, and you expect something from it, whether it's fair and balanced, or a certain point of view, or a certain...
Yep.
Or a certain view of what's going on in the world that you can't get anywhere else, because it is a very unique outlet. So you can't. So some people tune in because their person's show is on, and then there are some that just love all of it. It just. But that I think is a special case because you have both a brand itself, and then you have the individual commentators. Mm-hmm. We've also seen cases where people love Fox News, but they don't like a certain commentator because certain commentators have certain views on certain political candidates. Seems to be the particular thing that's going on in our country right now. And I can cite two different examples, one pro and one anti. One is seen as being way too anti for their own good, where it's killing their objectivity. Mm-hmm. And then there's another that some view as being way too pro for their own objectivity.
Yeah.
So you just you know, that leads to the point that when you inject personality, that personality can sometimes put a slant on your PR and your brand, and you got to make sure that that's in alignment with the goals of your organization, as you yourself said. So
definitely.
Personality is good, and personality also needs to be carefully managed, and you may need to have a conversation with yourself about your sense of self and what that's going to do for or against your brand, I think is great.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, speaking of people, how do I get reporters to like me? I want to be quoted. I want to be a media darling. I want to be on my local CBS affiliate or CBC affiliate or what have you. How do I do it?
Well, my business partner actually had a really simple approach with that. When I was talking about that, actually right before this podcast, he's like, buy them beer, and I'm like, but what if they don't like beer? It doesn't matter, buy them beer. But the thing is, he goes with the whole notion of everyone likes beer. So the whole personability approach is the most common element. Like, for example, I guess I could bring up some what not to do, because every journalist are different, every media personnel are different. For example, don't harass them, don't stalk them, don't send them hundreds of press releases and press pitches,
right,
thinking that you're gonna get covered, because they're human too. They have life outside of work. They don't want to be bombarded with a pitch at 9 p.m. in the afternoon or 4 a.m. in the morning. Except the thing is, there are so many brands that do that, and that really jeopardizes not only the relationship with that particular journalist or media professional, but also the Manchester brand reputation, because they talk amongst each other. Like, you might get a reputation as that annoying brand, which is definitely not desirable. For emerging brands, I actually do recommend for them to... And I know that everyone's saying Twitter is dead, but honestly, when it comes to working with media and trying to build that relationship with journalists, I cannot stress the importance of Twitter enough, because I believe that it is the most effective yet most casual way to kind of just approach someone, and I believe it is the best networking tool to really go about it.
Right.
All you need to do is if you're keeping yourself like a media list and like outlining the journalists and then outlining their social media information, what topics they talk about. Start commenting on these articles and then really follow them on what not in a creepy way, but follow their articles, find what they're covering, and then just send them a tweet or something, and then first comment, I would say, because a lot of people do not comment on the articles, surprisingly. So that is going to stand out to the journalist to begin very high likelihood of standing out because a lot of people are not commenting.
Right.
And you will tweet at them and then say, I really enjoyed your particular piece on blah blah blah, and if you could retweet them, share them, tag the journalist name, and then eventually they're going to start noticing because we're all humans. We want to feel appreciated. We want to feel that we're doing something meaningful, and especially for people that are putting themselves out there constantly, like entrepreneurs, journalists, media professionals, musicians, actors. When we are reminded of the fact that our work means something to someone and made someone's day, it really gets to us in extremely positive way, and then basically building a relationship from there.
Yeah, true. That's absolutely true. You hit on something that I wanted to make sure that our listeners heard. Whether it's mm-hmm. blogs, whether it's social media. Mm-hmm. A great way to get mm-hmm. somebody's attention is to comment on their stuff. Now, that doesn't mean like and comment every single thing because then you're a stalker. But if they get if they get used to regularly seeing your thumbs up among the likes and regularly seeing mm-hmm. your comments among the comments, they'll see you there. They'll see you, and things will likely take their own natural course. I know when I go on social media myself, mm-hmm. and I just see, I just see the responses I get, and I see who's mm-hmm. hanging around, who's liking, who's commenting. I can tell mm-hmm. who's grazing. I can tell who's grazing.
And you know what
I do is, and then when I have a moment, I check them out, and I see mm-hmm. and I see what's up there. And maybe I start liking and commenting their stuff a little bit if I like what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard is it to like something? Goodness gracious, you can do it on your mobile phone. And almost every blog out there has a Facebook interface or a Discuss interface where you can easily like or comment mm-hmm. something, and it pings basically the whole universe mm-hmm. you did so.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, a lot of people, like I said, I think you touched on this too as well. A lot of people leave comments, and the people that leave comments, they don't leave insightful ones. So, the more you're able to really make a comment that's worth their time reading, it's gonna really work out in your favor.
Well, right, yeah, it's also very important, and you make a good point, not to write something just to write something either, because that also stand out, not in a good way. I mean, if you're in grazing mode and you haven't commented in a couple of days, just like it or put the heart on it or something like that, and just let people, just let them see your name counted among the mm-hmm. yes, they checked in, and it'll still have an effect. But yeah, you start writing things like. Mm-hmm. Bravo, Claire. I love that, Claire. You're always full of wisdom, Claire, and you're going to start thinking, who is this guy who's hitting on me?
Or I might be like, yes, I know.
Yes. Oh,
either or.
I love your self-effacing modesty. That's great. Yeah, also remember.
I thought I would bring up possible situations.
Remember, reporters are people as well, as you said, and they like to be treated like people. And I love what your buddy said, buy them a beer. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you buy me a beer, you just bought yourself two beers because I'm not going to drink it. But I will appreciate the gesture. I'll remember that you bought me a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sorry about that. Sometimes when I'm here at the business Creators Radio Show studio. My cat, Princess Stealth, sometimes likes to climb up on my lap, and it was one of those times. There are folks who say that doing these podcasts and such, that you're supposed to put your pets in the other room and close the door so they don't interrupt. I tried that once. It did not go well.
But they're so cute.
This is another point here. It's an important branding thing to think about is I try to follow the professional advice. Don't let your cats on your podcast. I tried it once. I said, nah, the hell with it. They live here and they work here. So this personal assistant. Love me, love my cats. If this is something that just doesn't meet your standards, then I'm sorry I couldn't help you is the way I look at it. My cats have photobombed my webinars and my hangouts. You hear them jingling and meowing and resting around on the Business Creators Radio Show. That's just how it is.
And that leads I'm 200% okay with that, because I believe that we should always be spending time with furry friends, like furry friends, fur friends. But maybe I'm a little bit too biased in that aspect.
Right. That leads me to my next question. I was setting this up is, to what extent does our own natural uniqueness and, as some would say, quirkiness play a role in getting public relations?
I would say, when you are starting to really blur the line of too much information versus just enough to keep people interested. When you're starting to blur that line, that's when it's going to impact your personal public relations.
Right.
Good example could be maybe it's my musician attitude kicking in at this point for the example, but I really like to go by the philosophy of if I'm not going to be able to put something I said onto right in front of seniors' home or say it right in front of my parents or my grandparents, chances are my audience probably doesn't want to hear it either.
Right.
Or maybe if you're constantly talking about your dog, constantly talking about your cat, constantly talking about your crocodile, just being redundant about it without giving too much value and things like that, that is going to start to deteriorate your public relations efforts.
Yeah. So you mean what you're saying here, Claire, is it's not necessarily a good idea to, when you first wake up, post just woke up. When you get in the shower, getting in the shower. When you get out of the shower, getting out of the shower. When you make breakfast, saying breakfast time.
No, it's not a good idea, because it's not really giving any value. And then I'll probably look at it and be like, okay, well, you and I have that in common. Woke up, so what? Why should I care about the fact that you woke up, other than the fact that you're alive and well?
I've done that a few times. But I was doing it ironically, and as soon as a few people got that I was doing it ironically, I recognized I delivered my joke, and it was received, and it was time to move on. But yeah, I have ironically, and have had some success with it. Although I recommend that you have some friends with a good sense of humor, they're going to catch on to what you're doing, and they're used to you putting things out that look cryptic. But if they hang around for it, there's a payoff. So that's another thing, too, is the principle of opening loops and not closing them right away, so people are going to want to see what you do next.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that applies to public relations as well, because if you tell the whole story in one setting, it's like, cool story, bro, the end.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they might be like, too long, didn't read, TLDR.
Right.
Or they might not even have been paying attention to begin with, because... we have very short attention spans. We have, there's so many things going around us all the time. We don't have time to, we just don't have time for a lot of things. Or, time value perceiving.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Presumption, yeah.
Right, exactly. You mentioned that the Twitter is definitely not dead. And I know that when I go on Twitter, that's just a stream of tweets. How the heck do I keep up with it? And then you mentioned another very valid point when it comes to marketing, branding, PR, whatever it is people have very short attention spans. So knowing that it's going to be very, very, very challenging to get somebody's attention. Also knowing that we do not want to come across as, well, you know, being stalkerish or obsessed or weird or anything like that, for lack of a better phrase. But we need to get our message through in a relatively short period of time because, as you said yourself, one of the first steps or one of the first howls is to have a plan for what you're doing. Like, I have a plan that I want to be a celebrity in such and such a niche, but I don't want to wait 2 years and I don't want to keep just throwing my fish in the lake or my fish hook in the lake and seeing what bites. I want to get this done. So how do we deal with these short attention spans?
Dealing with short attention spans, I guess it really depends on the context. But maybe I'll bring up the concern of pitching to media because that's what a lot of brands are quite scared of that because there is something that they're not used to. The really quick tip that I could give, even though I know it's super super overset, but I cannot stress the importance enough because it is like the golden rule. I wish I could make a poster of it and then just put it on my. Where do I want to put it? Put it on my wall somewhere. Really pay attention to headlines because a lot of us, here's how it works. We get up in the morning and then we open up our smartphone. I'm imagining most people have smartphone at this time being. And then we open up the internet or we open up Facebook or whatever social media we go to. And then we start scrolling. We're not sitting there with a book. Well, we're not sitting there with a book most of the time, and then just with our iPad or whatever, and then starting to read through every single status we see. We scroll through, and then if a photo grabs our attention, we stop for 0.2 seconds, and then we quickly glance at the headline, or whatever that stands at the most for maybe first line or to something. If there's just a typical status wall post kind of thing, if it doesn't catch our attention, we move on. We keep scrolling down, and that itself really explains how short our attention span is. So by having that. The very first thing that these people are going to see when they look at your name, by having something extremely attention grabbing and then making them think, okay, I want to dig in deeper. That is going to be the most effective way to really work with the short attention span. And another thing is really making sure that your point is delivered in very, very concise and short way. And I'm a believer that if you're not able to summarize yourself in about a page, or if you're unable to summarize your book, or if you're not able to summarize your story in about one page, chances are your story might be a little bit redundant, or you might be repeating yourself constantly, or something like that. So make sure that you're concise and right on to the point, because a lot of people don't just have time for a lot of things.
Understood. So as we come to the top of the hour here, what I wanted to do is you mentioned to me earlier you had something for our listeners, those who have invested in themselves and taken the time to tune in today. So if you could tell us more about that, that'd be superb, as my cat would say.
Oh, what's the name of the cat, by the way? I'm actually super curious now.
Here at the Business Creators Radio Show, we currently have two personal assistants. We have Princess Alessandra and Princess Stella. Stella's sitting on the cat bed. Right near the desk here, I have a cat bed where the bottom is a scratching post and there's a loft on top of it. And that's just right next to my chair, and she's sitting up on the loft here. Sandra is, they have a rug, like a throw rug that they like to lay on, that sits behind my chair, and she's curled up on that right now.
You should do a vlog about that at some point. That'll be actually really cool, just to show the behind the scenes of your studio. Maybe you've done it at one point, but yeah.
Could be. Bestow gifts upon us, Claire.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. I went off track for a second. I love furry friends so much. They're a blessing in life.
Anything that's good, add cats, make it better.
Yeah, and cats and dogs. I'm more of a dogs person, but cats are very appreciative too. So the gift that I have for your listeners today is I created a little freebie, which is and it's basically a press release template, because I know that a lot of businesses and brands are trying to promote their events or trying to promote their new launch and things like that, and then they realize that okay, I need something, I need a way to really deliver my information. And press release is the most commonly asked for thing. So I created a little press release formula. It's only one page, but it basically walks them through with a couple of examples beside it, and then I have the little format, and then they just need to fill in the box. And all they need to do when they fill in the box, we print it off, write it all down, and then just put up a Word document, and then just put it all in paragraph form. That's all you need to do. So it's a little step-by-step kind of guide, so that your press release covers all the grounds and really improve your chances of being covered in media, because you're going to have all the right information that they need.
That's actually pretty cool. Press releases are something that people struggle with. And if you're working with, because I have a friend of mine who has a press release service where they'll do everything from writing them for you to just distributing them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the biggest challenge, or one of the biggest challenges they experience, is if somebody invests in the level where they're just distributing the press release, and they find themselves almost compelled to say, well, look, this needs some work. If only there was a formula. So it's great that you're giving folks a formula. And also for those who are going to use some of the free and low-cost press release distribution services, you may not get necessarily the same media pickup right away, but it's a way to disseminate your message for SEO purposes, so either way is beneficial. Where are we going to find this?
You're going to find this at pressreleaseformula.gr8.com. I wonder if you're able to leave the link below your show notes by any chance, but
all of our guest profiles have link to websites in them, and we can include that.
Okay, perfect.
Right. So say that one more time, though, just for the recording, because I know we have a lot of people that listen to us while they drive.
Yeah, for sure. And then maybe they have some beside them being I really want to take a look at this. Maybe they have their smartphone right now. So pressreleaseformula.gr8.com.
So G is in great, R is in rate, and 8 is in 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's gr8.com. So that's perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much about it here. This has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know you've opened my eyes to a few things, and I think that this has been not only an honor, but also an education. So Claire Kim of buzzwithclaire.com, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us here at the Business Creators Radio Show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com and on iTunes, where we help you win at the game of business and marketing. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.